Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. You know, as I looked over the readings for today, I noticed in the introduction of what I was reading, it said this. I want you to hear this. Jesus warns that in days to come, nation will rise against nation, and there will be earthquakes, famines, plagues, and awesome sights from the sky. And yet the Lord insists on an unwavering resoluteness in his followers. See that you not be deceived. Do not be terrified. For even though stone will not be left upon stone, the Lord will remain present. Christ's meaning is sure. So our faith is the core piece. Do I believe that no matter what goes on externally, that God is here, God is with me, God is speaking to me, God is encouraging me, God is helping me? But if we're not quiet long enough, if we're talking to other people all the time, how can we hear the quiet voice of God? A thought comes through your head that might be from God. Doesn't have to be the Lord says, but you can get a thought in your mind that God wants you to have and to follow. He speaks in all kinds of ways. We need to be attentive to him. That's why I really encourage you every day spend some time with God. And you say, oh, if you had my schedule, you'd never ask me that. Well, that might be a temporary need, but it can't be your lifelong choice. If there's not time for God now, what will there be in eternity? Think about this. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the book of Daniel, chapter 2. This is a long one. Chapter 2, verses 31 to 45. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "In your vision, O king, you saw a statue, very large and exceedingly bright, terrifying in appearance as it stood before you. The head of the statue was pure gold. Its chest and arms were silver, its belly and thighs bronze, the legs iron, its feet partly iron and partly tile. While you look at the statue, a stone which was hewn from a mountain without a hand being put to it struck its iron and tile feet, breaking them in pieces. The iron, tile, bronze, silver, and gold all crumbled at once, fine as the chaff on the threshing floor in summer, and the wind blew them away without leaving a trace. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." This was the dream. The interpretation we shall give you in the king's presence. You, O king, are the king of kings. To you the God of heaven has given dominion and strength, power, and glory. Men, wild beasts, and birds of the air, wherever they may dwell, he has handed over to you, making you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom shall take your place, inferior to yours. And then a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the whole earth. There shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. It shall break in pieces and subdue all these others, just as iron breaks in pieces and crushes everything else. The feet and toes you saw, partly of potter's tile and partly of iron, mean that it shall be a divided kingdom, but yet have some of the hardness of iron. As you saw the iron mixed with clay tile and the toes partly iron and partly tile, the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. The iron mixed with clay tile means that they shall seal their alliances by intermarriage, but they shall not stay united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the lifetime of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed or delivered up to another people. Rather, it shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and put an end to them, and it shall stand forever. This is the meaning of stone you saw hewn from the mountain without a hand being put to it, which broke in pieces the tile, the iron, the bronze, the silver, and the gold. The great God has revealed to the king what shall be in the future. This is exactly what you dreamed, and its meaning is sure. Brothers and sisters, where's the central focus of your life? Is it on God? Is it on your spouse, which is very important? Or is it on self? Where's your focus in life? We don't want our focus to be on that which lives forever, that which will not die, will not fade. You know, some people have fame for several years, but it all, after a while, just kind of disappears. So you have a moment of glory or a moment of triumph, but the only place you're going to have real glory and triumph is the fruit, the reward of your faithfulness to God. You don't have to be a nun. You don't have to be a priest. You just have to be a man or a woman whose heart says, God is first in my life. That's hard sometimes. Sometimes work takes a lot out of you and you need a respite. I understand that. I'm talking about the ordinary daily life as you can live it, as far as possible. Let God be praised. Stop with a visit before you go to work or when you're leaving work. Pray a rosary during the day. Sit sometimes with the Psalms, at least 15 minutes, the Psalms or the Gospels. Pay attention to them. Just read a little bit every day. And if you say, gee, I don't have 15 minutes. If you don't, honestly, then if you have 5 minutes, take some time to read and see what God prioritizes. See what's most important in God's mind. And ask yourself, is my life aligned with this? Am I being obedient to my God? Or am I just trying to squeeze by? Let's pay attention to that, because what we want to do is be in a position where, as the responsorial psalm tells us today, give glory and eternal praise to him. We want to bless the Lord, angels of the Lord, you heavens, bless the Lord, all you waters, bless the Lord, all you hosts of the Lord, bless the Lord. We want everything to give glory and eternal praise to him in our lives, in our work, in our conversations, in our love for other people. We want the glory of God to come through that. You take a look now at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 to 11. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." And then they ask him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famine, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." When those things happen, we want to be in a place of saying, "Lord, help me to follow you more closely now. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on you, that you bring us through this difficulty, unless it is the end of the world. Sometime it's going to be. How ready am I to meet Jesus? How ready am I to meet my Father?" Brothers and sisters, as I've mentioned before, Dorothy Day, who is a founder of the Catholic Worker Movement, she wrote this. She said, "We may be living on the verge of eternity, but that should not make us dismal. The early Christians rejoiced to think that the end of the world was near, as they thought. Are we so unready to face God? Are we so avid for joys here that we perceive so darkly those to come? It is hard to think of these things. It is not to be understood. We cannot expect to understand. We must just live by faith, the faith that God is good, that all times are in his hands, must be tried as though by fire. The first job of the Christian, it seems to me, is to grow in faith. That's why I'm emphasizing it so much, brothers and sisters, because if we believe, ask God daily, Lord, give me the grace of deeper faith. Help me to exercise my faith. Help me not to be afraid of it. That doesn't mean you have to be a preacher on the street corner. It just means that you live your life according to God's values. Read the commandments again and say, where am I not living God's values? What am I going to do about that? As she said, the first job of the Christian, it seems to me, is to grow in faith in God, in his power, in the conviction that we are all held in the hollow of his hand. He is our safeguard. He is our defense. The faith we must pray for does away with fear, which paralyzes all our effort. Fear of losing a job, of hunger, of eviction, as well as fear of bodily violence and the blows of insult and contempt. I do not want to play down martyrdoms, but to keep in mind always, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God loves all men. God wills that all men be saved. But we have that great and glorious gift of free will, which distinguishes us from the beast, the power of choice. And man often chooses evil because it has the semblance of the good, because it seems to promise happiness. To grow in faith in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, that is the thing we want, to grow in faith in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things. And she says, finally, I've had so many years of experience of how God takes care of those who trust him. He is unfailing, and he will send us what we need. Brothers and sisters, how true that is. What a beautiful, beautiful comment here, or lengthy comment here that she's made. Do not be terrified. Even if we're living on the verge of eternity, as I said before, even if we're living on the verge of eternity, that should not make us dismal. The early Christians, as she said before, were so eager. They were waiting, they were longing, they were watching. We've gotten so enmeshed in the world's values that we try, if we're a good Christian, a good Catholic, we try to balance them somehow. Put God first. That doesn't mean you have to be praying 24/7. That's not the point. The point is doing for others what they need, as well as doing what God has asked you to do. Keep that in mind. We all need to do it, brothers and sisters. Every single one of us, me included. I know in these months I have pondered that a great deal. May you do it with me. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.